On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references that you may want to take with you today. And I'm going to try to be a little bit interactive this morning in the message. So if you have your Bible, and we'll have the verses on the screen, but if you have your Bible, would you join me in Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Thank you all. Ephesians chapter 2, one main verse and one theme that I'd like to center on this morning from that verse. So I hope we can get it in our hearts and minds. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says this, and this is on your take-home page there too. You can see it at the top. It says, "For we are his," speaking of God's, "we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's read this verse out loud together. Would you do that with me? "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Here's the message this morning. We are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. And we're centered on that truth here in just a moment. The word workmanship actually comes from the Greek language, and it looks like our word poem. We're God's poetry. We're God's poem. Some translations say we are God's handiwork. One translation says we are God's masterpiece. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, "You're God's masterpiece"? And here is the main point I hope we get across more, and I want to emphasize it a few times. For those of you who do have the take-home page, this is where you fill in the two blanks there, okay? You ready? Here's the truth from this scripture. God works in us and through us. God works in us and through us. Because we're God's workmanship, God works in us and through us. Would you say that with me? God works in us and through us. And I want to just give you a couple of verses here. This one is found in the book of Acts. If you want to write it down, we'll put it on the screen. I'm going to stay right here in Ephesians, but for time's sake, Acts 9:15 from the New Living Translation says this, "But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and the kings, as well as to the people of Israel.'" So God says about this man, "You are my chosen instrument." I brought a couple instruments with me here this morning. Let me just ask, do you know what this is? Either one of you know what that is? You don't have a clue. This was my dad's. Let me ask the kids back here. Do you know what this is? Have any idea what this instrument is? It looks like a measuring thing. It does have that on there. You can measure with it. What's that? It's a very good. He said a level. How do you know it has? It would be a level? You don't know? That was a good guess if you didn't know. There's a bubble right here. And if you get it in between these lines, that means it's level. Let me ask this man. He does some construction. I think he might have an idea. Do you know what that is? Square. It's a square. So what would you, and with a level, what would you use that for?
You use that to make sure that when you're cutting a piece of wood, that you got a square.
Okay. So when you cut a piece of wood, you have it, or anything, you could cut it straight and have it square. Okay. All right. How about, let's try this one. This comes out of the kitchen. You know what that is? A garlic press. If you like garlic and you don't want to smell like it, you can put a clove in here and smash it down. I got that out of Kim's kitchen. So I want to ask you a question. If God created this man as an instrument, create him for a purpose. What is your purpose? Because God created us for a purpose too. We're not just here by accident. God designed us for a purpose. I want to read that first part of this verse again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Notice that phrase, in Christ, because that's very important. We are God's workmanship, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Would you say in Christ?
In Christ.
So let me read you this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Again, I'll read it from the New Living. It says this, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us, and here's that phrase again, in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, let me give you our main purpose. This is for everyone. Our main purpose is to know God and glorify him. That's our main purpose, is to know God as our Father and glorify him. Now, if you want to know what your individual purpose is, if you don't get this one right, you won't find out or you won't fulfill it. We have to, first of all, come before the Lord. Our main purpose, not the only one, but our main purpose is that we would know God as our Father, be adopted into his family, and give him glory. Then, whatever your individual calling may be, you can know it and fulfill it. So let me read you a couple of verses here. Let me keep reading. Ephesians 1:5 says this, God designed us in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. See, God wants to adopt us as sons and daughters in his family. It says this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So he wants us to know him. Then verse 12 says this, Ephesians 1:12, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ, not the only ones, just to hear the gospel of good news first, would bring praise and glory to God. So again, our purpose is to know God and to glorify him. Here is a problem, though. We are not in Christ unless God places us in Christ. The Bible says that we've all sinned. Do y'all know what sin means? It means we've broken God's word, his commandment. Sin is breaking God's word. How many of you of any age know what consequences are? All of us, right? There is a terrible consequence for breaking God's word. You know what it is? It's death. Now, it's not just physical death, that's spiritual death. In other words, it's separation from God. So here we are. I've sinned, and God has no sin. He's holy. He's in heaven without sin. But here I am. I have sin. It's in my heart. The reason we break God's commandments is because sin is in our hearts, and we pass it on since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But thank God, this is what it says. Let me read you this in Ephesians 2:4. Ephesians, if you're there in Ephesians 2:10, if you drop back to just a few verses there to verse 4, I just lost my spot. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, I love that phrase, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. So that's I love that, because God loved us so much that here I am outside of Christ, but he didn't want me to stay outside of Christ. He wants me in his family. He wants every one of us in his family. So he paid the price. Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, and he suffered and died on the cross to pay our consequences for us. Jesus took our judgment so that now we can be forgiven. And 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. So he's not just loving that he died for us, he's also powerful that he conquered death. And he's back in heaven now, and he just says, if we believe in him with our heart, not our head, that's information, with our heart is transformation. To believe, God draws us, I'm sorry, I have done wrong, I wanna be forgiven, and we believe Jesus is who the scripture says he is, and we call on him or confess him as Lord, that means he's God. He comes in, he forgives all of our sin. His spirit lives in us. And not just that, he gives us God's righteousness as a gift. So it's not just that I'm forgiven, by God's grace, I'm righteous. And then we have to live that out. That's why God works in us and through us. So let me keep reading that verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I asked y'all to help me pass out papers earlier. If I said, I'll pay you $1 for doing that, you earned it. You worked for it, right? But if I just gave you $1 because I want it to be good, that was a gift. You don't have to receive it. If I offered you $1, would you take it? Okay. Well, God is offering all of us something far more than $1. It's priceless. The gift of forgiveness and eternal life. So again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Why? Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, God's grace is God. Let me show it like this. All right, so here we are outside of Christ, and God's spirit draws us, and I realize I've sinned and I'm not right with God, but I want to be, and I believe God's word, and I'm going to put my faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross to pay for my sins, all of them. And when I just simply believe in my heart and call on the Lord, he forgives, and here's what he does. He places us in Christ. So now when God sees us, if we're in Christ, what does he see? He sees Christ, and the very righteousness that Jesus had becomes a gift to us. We could never earn it or deserve it, but it's a gift freely offered and freely received. That's grace. Thank God. God works in us and through us. Then once we are in Christ, then our works become important. Notice what it says, verse 10, Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. Would you say his? So God works in us and through us to draw us to Jesus, and in us and through us to make us more like Jesus. So here's what the Bible says. When we are in Christ, we become part of what's called the church, the body of Christ, not just this building, but the body of Christ. Let me give you a couple verses real quick for those if you want to write them down. I think this is on your take-home page. This is 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12 says this. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So we got all our body parts, and that's the way the body of Christ is. Verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So we become part of the body of Christ. Then we work. How many of y'all know my daughter, Brittany? Some of you know my daughter, Brittany, you don't. When she lived at home, if I asked her to clean her room and she did it, would that make her my daughter? That wouldn't make her my daughter. So we can go to church and we can do some good works, but that's not what makes us Christians. It's what Jesus did for us. But if she cleaned her room because I'm her father and I asked her to do it, she didn't do it to become my daughter. She did it because she is my daughter. That's the difference. That's God's workmanship. So he works in us. We serve. We don't work to become Christians. We work because we are Christians. We don't work to become righteous. We work because we are righteous if we know the Lord. So let me ask you this, everyone. Do you believe God can use you in his service? God has always used people like us, flaws and all, in his service. That's why I said Wednesday evening, for those of you who join me, I'd like to hear someone that you're interested in scripture. I'll give you the website real quick, clmfamily.org. And it's got information there, clmfamily.org. Let me ask you this though. I wanna put up a picture of someone. I'm not gonna try to pronounce his last name. His first name is Nick, and he goes by Nick V. And I want to show you something about this man, okay? Let's put this picture up. There's something very unique about him. Do you notice anything about him that might be a little bit unusual? He doesn't have any arms, and he doesn't have any legs. Do you think God could use him? I like what he said. He said he likes to drive and come up to a stoplight and do this in his seat and watch the people in the car next to him. He's only shared the gospel face to face in person with over 8 million people around the world, 730 million by social media. Over 1 million people today are now following Jesus because of God using him. Isn't that good? Would you say God works in us? And through us. So see, we're all unique and different, but valuable to God and to others. God will use us if we're just willing. We are God's workmanship and to trust him. So I asked you earlier if you would take that, if you would take a dollar if I offered it to you. Why would you want a dollar? How about this? Let's make it five. Okay, you're interested in that one? All right. What if I took that $5 bill and balled it up? Would you still want it?
No.
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah. I could just
Yeah, you can straighten it out. If I dropped it on the ground and stepped on it, would you still want it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that $5 has built-in value, even though it might have been damaged. Wait a minute. We are God's workmanship. We're created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And because of that, we have built-in value. Doesn't matter what we look like or all those outward things. God can work with that. You might feel like life has beaten you up, like people have stomped you down, but you are still valuable to God. We are God's workmanship. God works in us and through us to draw us to Jesus and help us become more like him. Just a few more minutes and then we'll share communion together. I want to show you a picture of someone's house. If they put that on the screen. See that house? That house existed in someone's heart and mind before it was put on paper and before it was built. See this sheets of paper? I drew that house June 7th of 1991. This paper became the blueprint for my dad to build that house for his brother. What started in someone's heart and mind was written on paper and then was put into reality. That verse says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand a long time ago. See, a long time ago, before God even spoke the universe into existence, you were in his heart and mind, and he put it on paper in his word and says, I've got a plan for you and I've got a purpose for you. You're not here for accident, and now we've got to live it out to complete the picture. God works in us and through us. Just a couple more pictures. I want to show you a drawing. I think it's labeled number one. You'll recognize what this is, right? Can you tell from that picture what it is? It's actually someone. You kids know who it is. Let's give you a little more detail. How about picture two? Now do you know who it is?
Yes.
All right, one more. How about number three? Do you know who it is now? Let's remember our Bible point. God works in us and through us. Let's say it together. If you want to even do the hand motions, all right? God works in us and through us. Would you tell someone next to you, God works in us and through us? This is very important, because if you want to know what God's purpose for you is as an individual, we find it out by serving in his body. At least part of God's purpose for us is in service in his church. We, not just I am, God's work of art, God's workmanship, we are, and we need each other. If I cut my finger off and stick it over here somewhere out on the street, is my finger gonna benefit from the rest of the body? Is my finger gonna benefit the body? So God wants us connected. Now, let me just say this. Just like this artwork is not complete yet, it's a work in progress. That's what you are. You're a work in progress. God's not finished with you. So God works in us and through us to erase areas in our lives that are not like Jesus. So if I have selfishness in my heart, God may allow me to go through a little time where he works and erases some of that selfishness out of me, because he wants us ultimately to look like Jesus. So if I got that in my heart, or maybe I'm just really discouraged and down, and God is gonna fill my life in with someone to come alongside to encourage, to help complete that picture. So God works in us and through us to erase areas that are not like Jesus and to fill in areas to make us grow more like Jesus. In us and through us. Let's put the full picture up now, see if you recognize this. Little Simba. But those earlier drawings, you didn't recognize, but they were part of this same drawing. It just had to fill in the picture. And see, when we believe in Jesus, he starts that work in us. We're God's workmanship. He works in us and through us. So that right now, I get frustrated sometimes because I don't see the complete picture. A man asked me this over 30 years ago. I was part of a conference. And he said, if you could change something about you that really is an unchangeable, like not that I can't improve, I'm talking about something, maybe my appearance, or you know, I'm 5'8", and I want it to be taller, I wanted different hair color, I wanted different features. I didn't like myself at all. And he said, if you could change one of those, would you? And I was like, oh yeah, I'd change this. But he said, I want you to accept God's design for you and put yourself back on that easel and cooperate with God in what he's doing. Because he's more concerned about your heart than your, at least there was one person who thought I looked all right. But I really came to the point where I don't think I'm better than anyone else. I just say, Lord, thank you for who you've made me. Now I want to be the best me I can be for you. God works in us and through us. And so when the time comes that our work is complete, when the picture is complete and we see Jesus face to face, we won't look like Simba. The picture will be complete and we'll be like Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. I hope you feel valuable today because you are. And I want to ask you that same question. Will you cooperate with the divine worker and keep yourself on his easel and trust him to work in you and through you to make you more like Jesus? And thank him. You haven't arrived yet, but thank him for what he's doing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you. I want to thank you. In fact, would you look at me a minute? The fact that I'm even standing here is only by God's grace and his work in me. If someone would have asked me, I remember my mom, actually now that's coming to my mind, she prayed that I would do this one day. And I remember hearing it made me mad because I didn't want that. I was in my own rebellion. Lord, help me to be patient with others. You've been so good to me. God works in us and through us. And so, Lord, I pray right now, it's all ultimately about you want us to know you, want us to give you glory. I pray that you would draw us, Lord. Even when we don't feel it or see it, you are working. And I thank you. Lord, from the youngest to the oldest today, you'll use anyone who's available. Help us to come to you right now. Maybe we don't even know you as our Father yet. Maybe we're not in Christ. Would you in your mercy reveal your need and draw us to come, Lord, with repentance and faith in our heart to just say, God, I need you. I believe Jesus died on the cross and I believe he's alive and I want to follow you. Help me, forgive me, help me to live for you. Maybe believers here this morning, maybe online and feel like we've just been beaten down and maybe we can't be used. Maybe we've got a past that we regret. I'm thankful you're the God of new beginnings. Help us get back up on that easel and trust you, Lord. The drawing's not complete yet. Help us just to give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name.